had a ghostly showdown, a haunted handprint, and a missing diamond necklace. Let's all come down to this for the low-budget Ghost Squad. And I'm going to say, thanks to our Ghost app, we know what to do to solve this mystery at the Lord Baltimore Hotel. Well, thanks for sticking with us. I'm Natalie.
I'm Allison.
And I'm Ethan.
This is episode 7, the finale of this season of the Low Budget Ghost Squad. And, you know, we've seen a lot if you've listened to this podcast. And if you don't know, this squad is made up of a mom and her two kids and our adventures at haunted hotels.
So, how does the story end? Here we go.
We ended last episode with Ethan saying,
I know where he's going to be, and we have to get there first.
He was talking about Christopher, who had gotten a message on his own ghost app, and it actually came through mine as well, because, well, I was hiding under a table nearby, kind of eavesdropping.
On a ghost. You were eavesdropping on a ghost. Anyways, we learned the ghost may have been trying to distract us, like a classic misdirection or a red herring. They made Mom think that the missing diamond necklace could be at the Washington Monument that's in Baltimore. Came before the big one in D.C., by the way. A little history for you.
Yeah, there's a mural on the wall of the ballroom that shows that monument. It was painted in 1944, and something had ripped at it. And you can see a picture of it on our social media. Plus, two of the ghosts who are central to our story, Jonathan and Hannah, had been there at the monument on Christmas Eve, right before they were killed in front of the hotel, not long after her husband died.
But instead, the ghost, or maybe just one ghost, told Christopher, find the handprint. I have to say, I've actually spoken to Robert Fielding, Hannah's husband, and he's the shadow figure who kept appearing throughout the story in our hallway when we first got here, in our window, on the 19th floor when the elevator took me up there. And he said he needed my help.
And he said he's the one who's been talking to us this whole time on our ghost app. And he gave us the names Jonathan and Hannah, which is the first time we heard those.
And our friend Clovis had described what she saw in the room as a child the morning Robert Fielding died in 1929. And we're pretty sure Hannah probably poisoned him because he was taking strychnine for medical reasons. Don't do that. It was on the table where he died during breakfast. And we think that Jonathan, Hannah's boyfriend, was involved too. He worked here in the laundry and as a part-time server.
So Ethan, I want you to tell everybody what you remembered when you heard the phrase, find handprint.
It's the haunted handprint. If you try and wash it off or even paint over it, it always comes back.
Yeah, we mentioned it in an earlier episode, and it's in one of the penthouses. And you can get to those from the 19th floor. There's a special elevator up there. And the 19th is the most haunted floor, if you do remember. That's the one where many people have seen little Molly's ghost with her red ball and weird lights floating around.
So, there are four penthouses on the top floors, but that section used to have things like the telephone switchboards up there, the hotel carpenters, and the laundry was toward the top too, along with the locker rooms for the workers. And Jonathan worked in the laundry, remember that?
The morning Robert Fielding died, Jonathan was on that floor, the 18th where the Fielding suite was, and he had his laundry cart. And we had noticed that some things were missing from Robert's room that didn't make sense based on what we had learned from the newspaper article about it and also the hotel security log that Christopher gave us. First off, you had Robert's breakfast plate was missing. I mean, he had just been eating, assuming eggs, because Clovis said eggs were all over his face as if someone had forced him to eat them. And we did get the word eggs on our ghost app, and it had all red bars on the EMF reader when that came through. You can see that on our social media too.
Plus, I didn't see that she had a plate. Was Hannah not eating?
Not if it was poisoned.
Also at the scene was an open bottle of bourbon, but no glass. And Clovis told Allison he smelled like liquor. It was the Apple Valley brand, by the way. And just like with eggs, the word apple had appeared with big red bars. So I'm going to say this. I'm going to be a little Nancy Drew for a second. What if both those things were poisoned with a little extra strychnine? Since he was the one sending us messages, then maybe he was trying to tell us how he was poisoned.
And the voices on the mezzanine said things like, no. And then a woman said, do it. And then some guy's voice said, he's not done.
Maybe that's the conversation that was going on as they were poisoning him.
And I'm thinking, Jonathan got that stuff out of there, like the plate and the glass, and it's in the laundry cart, and it's headed to the top of the building.
And if this handprint clue is correct, then that necklace may have been hidden up there this whole time.
So we all went up to the 19th floor, but then realized we couldn't get into the special penthouse elevator without the special key card, and that's probably what Christopher was dealing.
So Dad went to go get help, you know, like from security.
But that's not exactly what we needed at the moment, was like the responsible adults in the building. What we needed was a key card so we could get in there and deal with it by ourselves.
And just like that, the penthouse elevator door randomly opened. But no one was in there.
We just stood there, staring at each other.
But of course we got in.
And it went straight to the floor we needed. Just like those other elevators that would take you straight to the 19th floor, this one went right to the penthouse. I love haunted elevators. It can be so useful.
Well, the door to the actual penthouse was open when we got out of the elevator, and we peeked inside, of course. Christopher had knocked a hole in the wall, I guess where that haunted handprint had been. And the kids and I ran in and hid in the kitchen area. I mean, this is a nice setup in here. Lots of room, plenty of places to hide. I mean, if you're ever here, I'd look into getting one of these rooms.
Okay, booking.com. Anyway, let me just say we were bumbling fools running into each other trying to get behind a wall. I'm shocked you didn't hear us with the amount of commotion we made. It's not as big a mystery as how Mom got under a table, but it's still a mystery.
We saw him pull out a broken plate, a glass, and something wrapped in cloth.
He looked inside it and then took off.
Well, he got on the elevator. And guess what? We ran right after him. Like we didn't even say a word to each other. We just took off. And of course, ended up on the elevator with him.
That elevator ride definitely takes the cake for most awkward elevator ride. And definitely not dangerous whatsoever.
And y'all, he looked shocked. And I have to say, things changed really quickly because he pulled out a knife. And he said the necklace was his family's.
So, I'm not really sure about that. I mean, I'm not an expert on possession laws, but I'm pretty sure it's Jonathan's girlfriend's dead husband's family's. You know, that's like Ferris Bueller. My best friend's boyfriend's cousin's sister's girlfriend saw him pass out at the 31 Flavors. Please tell me y'all remember that scene. Back to the main point. It's not his.
Now, he said his family had spent years looking for this thing, and he wasn't about to give it up.
Mom pushed us behind her as the doors opened to the 19th floor.
So the setup there. You have the penthouse elevator, and then you have to go to the main bank of elevators to go down to the lobby, which I'm assuming is where Christopher was wanting to go.
So Christopher started backing out of our elevator, saying, now you're gonna stay here, but I'm leaving. And you know, sometimes things just go in slow motion. You may have experienced that, because the next thing you knew, Christopher was on the ground, and that necklace was thrown across the hallway. Even before that happened, I heard the noise first. I mean, I'd heard it many times on this trip. You see, Clovis McPhail, our 102-year-old friend, had knocked Christopher over with her scooter and had parked right on top of his knife.
Like the girl boss she is.
Yeah, you see, Clovis had been watching us. She had been up there on the 19th floor trying to find Molly, the ghost girl with the red ball. And so she sat in front of the penthouse elevator just waiting for us to come back because she knew there could be some trouble.
Now, by this time, Dad had brought Augustus, the security guard, who, come to find out, had been suspicious of Christopher because, you see, Christopher hadn't worked at the Lord Baltimore for months. He'd just been hanging out there trying to find the necklace.
Yeah, so he and his family had been searching for it for decades.
So Christopher got hired here just so he could snoop around, but he gave up and quit a few months ago. And then word got around that we were coming, and what we had done during season one, solving that mystery, you know, talking to some ghosts. So he decided to befriend us.
You know, when I think about it, we never really actually saw him working. He was always near the front desk and never actually behind it.
I mean, till he stole a key card to steal a necklace.
Yeah, and he gave us all the info he had, hoping we'd figure it out, which we did. You know, sort of.
Because if he hadn't have downloaded his own ghost app, we would be digging around the Washington Monument looking for the necklace. It's like a historical monument. I'm pretty sure that's a felony.
I am aware.
So I ask, who opened the penthouse elevator for us?
Well, Augustus just smiled and said, like I said earlier, the elevator company can't explain it. It just happens.
Now, as we went to go back down to the lobby, or the ballroom level, I got a glimpse of something down the hallway in front of the doors that lead to the bar up there, and our ghost app went off. And there she was, a little girl, in a long cream-colored dress and black shoes, and she had a red ball. She waved, and the phrase, "You're welcome," came up on our app.
So it was Molly who opened that penthouse elevator door for us. Well, Jonathan and Hannah weren't having any of that.
Yeah, so Mom walks into the ballroom and says, "We found the necklace." And she's just yelling up at the ceiling, looking like a crazy person. And the response from the ghost people was definitely more of a, "They found the necklace." You know, more so than a, "They found the necklace."
And the lights were blinking like crazy.
And those beautiful 1928 chandeliers were shaking. You see, Christopher said he had been following us around, and when Ethan deciphered that Morse code message that said diamond, well, that was actually meant for him, not us. They wanted Christopher to have that necklace. And now, well, I guess it could end up going to Robert's family, if they're still around.
So at this point, Ethan is walking towards the big windows, towards a man standing there. I hadn't seen him before. He had on a blue sports jacket, shiny buttons, and an ascot. You know, like the Fred from Scooby-Doo scarf.
It was Robert Fielding, staring at the window, just like the hotel worker saw years ago. He turned and said, "Thank you. They poisoned me, and now the whole world will know." He said he had been the one knocking down the pictures all in the hall so we would notice.
Yeah, he was talking about that photo from the big nurses' alumni dinner where Jonathan and Hannah first met.
Yeah, and they weren't done yet. Apparently, we had some battery power left, so Hannah was making herself known. And she wasn't happy.
I mean, she visualized right in front of us, and she was yelling at Robert.
She said, "It's your fault I died. If I hadn't been looking at you in that window, I would have seen the trolley."
And she had seen something strange in the window, according to the witnesses.
But then Robert quickly said, "Honey, you killed me first."
He said eggs and bourbon had been poisoned, or at least he thought they had been. He said it tasted funny and that she started pushing it in his mouth. Ugh.
And he claimed the last thing he heard was something dripping from the table. That bourbon bottle had been knocked over. And then the lights started blinking like crazy. and Hannah said, "I know, Jonathan," like real mad-like. She then said, "Your family almost burned this place down."
So you remember that fire in 1980 on the 18th floor where Robert Fielding died? Apparently some crazy relative of Jonathan, and I guess Christopher too, accidentally caused that fire, trying to open up walls to see if the necklace was hidden in there.
Smart move.
And then the big reveal, y'all. Robert told Hannah, guess what? That necklace you and your boyfriend wanted so badly? It's a fake. I sold the real one. Right, big plot twist.
She was so mad.
Yeah, it's just like the lie she told his family when they asked about it. Remember, she claimed, oh, he sold it because he had lost a lot of money in the stock market? Well, that's exactly what he did. He was running out of money. But she had no idea.
And he just laughed. A ghost laugh, you know, of course. And then he started fading away. But Hannah was still there. She started talking about how Jonathan took the necklace and hid it in the wall of the laundry area, which we obviously already knew because we found it.
Plus, he had to get rid of the evidence of the murder. Remember the plate and the glass that Christopher found in the wall, too? I mean, I guess it's still up there. But they may have had traces of strychnine on them. And oh my, she was so angry that she started like whirling around. And it looked like flashes of light were coming from her. And then, y'all, that light passed right through us. And she was gone.
It was crazy.
Well, as we packed up to leave, there was a knock at our hotel room door. And it was Clovis and her granddaughter. Now, they would be staying one more night, but she wanted to give us a hug. She said, and it's hard to even say this, to be honest, guys, she told us, "You never know. This may be my last visit to the Lord Baltimore, and thank you for making it the best." I think my voice cracked for just a second.
As we all stood there crying, Clovis said, "I mean, I'm the one who took down the bad guy."
Then something caught Clovis's attention behind us, towards the bed in our room.
I turned around to see what she was looking at, and it was that woman again, that ghost woman who kept appearing in our room. And I was looking around hoping that you guys saw her, at least for once.
Yeah, but she didn't want to see us, because I heard Clovis say, "Mama?"
So, we had another mystery to solve. Do you remember the strange sound that was picked up while I was recording Ethan talking outside the ballroom? We played it in an earlier episode, and I didn't really hear it until we started putting this podcast together. Here it is.
So, come here. How do you feel about what just happened in there?
I do actually believe that there is an angry spirit there that is really mad at us.
I thought it was something dripping. Maybe like the last sound that Robert Fielding heard before he died, the bourbon dripping off the table?
Yeah. So,
I mean, I was sure we had recorded something crazy.
And then I had to be the one to disappoint her. It's the sound of our video camera. It's, like, stupidly loud, and I was trying to record stuff when you were talking to Ethan.
Okay, well, I think my version is much more interesting.
Okay, next time I'll give you a heads up that our camera sounds like deadly bourbon dripping off of a table.
So if you get the chance to go to the Lord Baltimore Hotel, don't worry, we left the ghosts there. Hannah, Jonathan, Robert and their voices on the mezzanine, Molly, the madam, the strange spirits that appear in your room and in the hallways, and the 19th floor is just as we left it. And maybe, if you're lucky, Molly will make an appearance with her red ball?
Because all she wants to do is play.
Well, the Low Budget Ghost Squad wants to thank the Lord Baltimore Hotel and Lee Johnson Lowe for taking time out to show us around and answer all of our goofy questions. Also, a big thank you to fellow podcasters Callie and Jeff Dollar for your support and your great advice on this project.
The Low Budget Ghost Squad is part of Spellbound Productions. Mom wrote, edited, directed, and produced, and whatever else had to be done. Like, tell us what to do.
And a shout out to Lucinda Peterson for the awesome show logo that you've probably seen. And thank you to my husband, Brian, for playing along with this. And of course, for the acting skills of Allison and Ethan as we put the skills we learned in Scooby-Doo to the test.